Well, we are in our final week of our All In series as we prepare to head into the Christmas season and these over this next month or so. And we are in week 7 of our All In series. And if you have enjoyed it, praise the Lord. And if you're glad it's over, you can praise the Lord because this is our last Sunday. But if you might happen to be a guest today or you missed some of the weeks, you can go on our website, or as of Monday or Tuesday of this week, we will have the DVDs available of this series. We have spent the last 6 weeks, we're going to be in Matthew 26 today, by the way, if you have your Bibles or whatever device you might use. But we, over the last 6 weeks, have talked about several things. First of all, that unless the Lord returns first, we all are going to lose our life in these bodies. And the only way to save our life, Jesus says, is to lose it for His sake, is to give our lives to Him and to live all in lives and be surrendered followers of Jesus Christ. We can't kind of give our life to Jesus. We can't kind of live for Jesus. We really truly do have to be all in. But what happens to us if we're not careful is that the very life that God has given us and breathed into us, the very things that God blesses us with, become more important than God, the giver, the creator. Things become idols in our life. And so we have asked ourselves, and I'm going to ask you today, where is your primary devotion? Are you devoted to the Lord? We've asked ourselves about things we need to lay down. We've talked about Abraham being willing to sacrifice Isaac. And we've asked ourselves, are you faithful in the small day-to-day things? Are we faithful with how we live? Are we faithful with our words, actions, attitudes, with our hearts? We've talked about the rich young ruler and how he was unwilling to give up his stuff, his comfort, his idol that was, in his case, his money and possessions. He was unwilling to let those be in second place in his life to Jesus. And now that he's been dead and gone for 2,000 years, it makes you wonder if it was worth it. And we know that it wasn't. We've talked about Elisha. We've talked about Noah building the ark, how it took 120 years of faithfulness, of being made fun of building a huge ship in a desert where it had never rained. But he was obedient to God, and God blessed him for it. Last week, Pastor Hunter gave a so-so sermon about Zacchaeus and about how, why do we run from a God? Why, if you have not surrendered your heart to Jesus today, why are you running from a God who just simply loves you, who knows you and knows your faults and knows your struggles and knows, even if you don't know Him, your sin, but He loves you anyway. He calls to you anyway. He accepts you if you have given your heart and life to Him. So today in Matthew 26, as we wrap up this series, we're going to talk about, and we're going to get there about today, the single most important decision you'll ever make while breathing is to go all in, to give your life to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus, to accept God's grace, to repent and turn from your sins and follow Jesus with your life, or to not to. And if you say, I kind of have, you haven't. Because He wants your heart, He wants your life. And when we give those to Him, He does beautiful things. And so today we're going to go over two profiles recorded in sequence in Matthew 26. And these back-to-back accounts reveal two very separate life profiles. And all of us will choose one or the other. And these life profiles, this really our lives are, it comes down to this. We're living for us, or we're living for the Lord. There's really not a whole lot of in-between, even though when we live for the Lord, at times we struggle with self, we struggle with these things, but in your heart, when it comes to, is your soul, are you saved or not? Are you living for Jesus? Are you living in sin, or have you repented and are constantly repenting and turning from your sins? Are you living for the Lord or not? And these two profiles, I think, sum up life, and they sum up the struggle for us as Christians is, am I on the throne of my life, or does the Holy Spirit lead my life as I'm following Jesus? Matthew 26, verses 6 through 16. I'm reading from the New King James. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on His head as He sat on the table. But when His disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, He said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give up to me if I deliver Jesus to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time on, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. I have heard someone say, I don't know who to attribute the quote to, but the supreme act of worship to Jesus is offering or giving up something that is precious to you. The supreme act of worship is giving up something that is precious to you. Now, when we come in and when we worship the Lord and we sing praises to Him, that is necessary, that is good, that is wonderful. But our supreme acts of worship are acts of obedience and acts of sacrifice. And for you here today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be quiet for 5 or 10 seconds. Nobody amen. I'm going to give you 5 or 10 seconds to think about what you have or what you might need to give up as an act of worship to the Lord. And I want to assure you this morning, maybe it's a sin in your life, a relationship, a thing. Maybe for some it's our time, and there's money. And we're not going to really necessarily talk about money today, but if when I said that word, you went, oh, here we go. We're going to talk about that in a moment. What might you need to give up for the Lord as an act of worship? If you've never surrendered your life or anything in your life or anything that is wrong or any act of your will of humbling yourself and obeying God and abiding by His word, you're truly missing out because God honors that and God blesses that. He really does. If you've never surrendered your life, if you've never been obedient financially or with your body or with your forgiveness, your grace, your time, whatever it is in your relationships, God blesses. Jesus actually mentions that in Luke. He says, if you give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you give, it will be measured back to you. That applies to money. It applies to everything in our life. Think about grace. The Bible talks about the level of grace to which we give people is the amount of grace that we'll get. Jesus tells us what? If you don't forgive people, you won't be forgiven. So you must be a giver, not just of money, time, yourself, but the first thing you must do is give your heart and your life to Jesus. Because there's a divine law that God has put into us about giving, about our time, our practices, our devotion on so many levels. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a giver. It genuinely is. And so as we read this account in Matthew 26 and we look at Mary, now Mary was Martha's sister. That's the Mary and Martha. And Mary's devotion is the first thing I want to talk about today. And the second thing I'll talk about is Judas's betrayal. But first, Mary's devotion. This perfume that she poured on Jesus' feet was valued at 1 year's salary. So her devotion to Jesus would be the same as you coming in today and writing a check for 1 year of your salary. Not asking you to do that. I wouldn't stop you. But I'm not asking you to. Bad joke aside. That's the point. That's the level of devotion that she had to Jesus. And this was not about money or the perfume. This perfume was probably the one valuable thing that she possessed on earth. The pouring out of it was symbolic. It wasn't about the perfume or what it was valued at. It was about her life. It was about the fact that she listened to this morning. She reverenced Jesus. In your life, do you reverence Jesus? With how you handle your life, with the words you speak, with how you handle your sexuality, with how you handle your money, with how you handle your time, with how you handle people, especially people who have hurt you, disappointed you, let you down, whatever it is. Let me ask you if you're reverencing Jesus. This was Mary's kind of all-in moment. This was her all-in moment. She was giving what she had. And so as we think about, let's just say, for example, giving of our time. You know, somebody mentioned to me this week that the one thing that we have that we can give away, we can never get back, is our time. Money, we can make more. And that's what we do. We get up. Many of you tomorrow morning will wake up. You'll go to work 40, 50, 60 hours, and you're giving your time, really aka your life, in exchange for a paycheck. That's what we're doing. We're trading our life. And so what in your life, again, do you need to give up to Jesus? Think about that sacrifice that she made. And yet so many times as believers, we won't honor God with our first fruits. We won't serve. We won't inconvenience our schedule to go to the youth center to decorate, to go to a small group, to do whatever it is, to serve someone. We live lives that are so easily focused on ourselves. But Mary here was devoted. She was devoted. You know what Jesus said about Mary in Mark? Jesus said, she did what she could. I want you to think about that this morning. Are you doing what you can for Jesus? Here's a great spiritual truth, and here's something I see so often in people, and even in believers. People who can never truly be happy or content because they're always upset about something. They're always worried about someone else. Something's not fair. Someone did something, said something, didn't do something, didn't say something. They're always worried about someone else. And there's a great spiritual truth here that when we stay focused on Jesus, when he is the subject of our hearts and lives, we tend to worry less about other people. We tend to worry less about our circumstances, situations, what's going on, what's not fair, what happened, what didn't happen. I want to encourage you this morning to stay devoted to and focused on Jesus, and you will get way less up. Would you like to be less upset about stuff? Would you like to be able to watch the news or look at people and go to work and that person you work with, that person in your family? Would you like to have a lot more peace and not let that kind of stuff bother you? Get on your knees and spend some time at the Lord's feet, like Mary did. Fast, pray, get focused back on Jesus and stop focusing on others and on things. That's what Mary did. Jesus said she did what she could. Here's my question for you this morning, and this is serious. Are you doing what you can for Jesus? Are you doing what you can? Are you forgiving people? Are you loving people? Are you being a part? Are you being obedient? Are you just doing what you can? Because we all have different calls. You know what the Bible says? When we all as a church do what we can, we then as a church will be doing what we can and what we should be. And that is being the body of Christ. That is reaching out into our community, reaching out to lost people, helping and loving and serving and impacting and supporting missionaries and supporting things here locally and doing ministry 24/7 as a church. Are you doing what you can for Jesus? Mary did. Now think about this. She couldn't, as we think about not worrying about others and all of us just living our own journeys and following Jesus. She couldn't keep the disciples from abandoning Jesus. She couldn't keep Judas from betraying Jesus. She couldn't keep the soldiers from crucifying Jesus. She couldn't keep the crowds from mocking Jesus. But she did what she could. And that's really the challenge for all of us here today, is to give Jesus our all and to do what we can. And I know sometimes it's tough. There are times in my life in dealing with people, and when I just live my life here in Hoopston, Illinois, I want to shake people. I want to say, wake up. You're not saved. You're headed for hell, and God loves you. And this addiction and brokenness and drama and strife and anger and poverty and the mess of your life, you don't have to live this way. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Give your heart and life to him. Come to church. Do something different than what you or your family's done for generations. You don't have to keep living this way. I want to shake them. But I can't, because that would be illegal. And so at times I get frustrated. I really do. At times I get off sight of me just doing what I can, and I start to get so frustrated. But the Bible tells me in Galatians 6:9 to not lose heart. The Bible tells me, I'm just going to read the verse, and we'll see if I can turn to it real quick here. Boom, I would have won the sword drill. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary." Listen, if you're doing what you can, don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. You just have to keep doing what God calls you to do. Do what you can. Forgive when you can. Give grace when you can. Serve when you can. Be kind when you can. So what happened here? The disciples started to criticize. You notice after she did this, the disciples started to criticize, especially Judas. And so you're thinking, the disciples, I mean, they're following Jesus. Gosh, they started to criticize. They did, especially Judas. But Jesus put a stop to it. And Jesus went on to say that her devotion, her doing what she could, her sacrificing greatly, because again, that bottle was worth a year's pay. Can you imagine? Jesus said that wherever the gospel is preached, we will talk about her devotion. So here we are 2,000 years later in North Central Illinois talking about her devotion. Amen? Just as Jesus said. He called her act of devotion a beautiful thing. It's always beautiful when we perform an act of love or of service to someone in Jesus' name. When we help someone in need in Jesus' name. When we love someone in Jesus' name. When we forgive them. And you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, should always be looking for opportunities to give grace, to give forgiveness, to give the benefit of the doubt, to give your money, to give your time, to give your service. And you must be purposeful. You must look for opportunities to do good and to show Jesus love. Not just come to church, try and be good. We need to be going out and be looking for opportunities to do good in Jesus' name. So why would the disciples get down on Mary? Why were they criticizing Mary? Why would this bother them what she did? And here's what I think. And these men were following Jesus, so this applies to us. I think it was embarrassing for them to see such sacrifice and such devotion.
I want to call this out. There is a spiritual jealousy that just happens. If a church grows, if something good happens, and I think that's ridiculous.
I think we are all on the same team, and we should be loving, and we should be supporting our fellow churches, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think it happens, and you probably have done this. You've come to church or people you worship with, and you know sometimes you just roll their eyes. It's like, oh, look at them, you know. Here they are serving again, super Christian, things like that. You know, we do that. But I think that that's sinful. I do. It shouldn't bother us. We should love it when people are following Christ. We should love it. You know, sometimes see people and they just really are just, they live right by the Bible. They don't ever stray. It's like, boy, they sure are uptight or they sure are rigid. No, I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful. I'm not saying I can do it. I try. But I'm saying we shouldn't have this thing where these kind of things bother us. We should be doing what we can. We should be individually all in loving and following Jesus. Now, why did this also especially bother Judas? Because Judas saw Mary's devotion, loyalty, and sacrifice, and it brought to light, listen to this, it brought to light the state of his heart. And I want to speak to this here just a second this morning. Oftentimes I can tell, and you can tell where you struggle and how you need to pray by what bothers you. Think about that. Now, I'm not saying sin shouldn't bother us, and people never do things that shouldn't legitimately upset us. But if you're constantly getting upset about something with someone, now I know people can make us, you know, get that way, but two things here. Oftentimes it's just bringing to light issues that we need to deal with. But number two, remember, if you're constantly getting upset about stuff, you might not be focusing on Jesus. You might need to get back to humbling yourself and keeping your eyes on Christ. Because things shouldn't be constantly bothering us and upsetting us when we are walking with Jesus like we should. And so oftentimes we can tell about where our issues are by what bothers us. We can tell where our heart doesn't belong to the Lord by what bothers us. Let me give you a good example. A couple times today I've talked about money and giving. Some of you have definitely done an internal eye roll. Yep, church wanting my money. That's a you problem. That just is. Because are you kidding me? I mean, God tells us. Jesus spoke about it a lot. He tells us to honor him with his first fruits. I was saved at an early age, when I rededicated my life to the Lord as an adult, and we went to church someplace for years, and they would talk about giving and do capital. It never bothered me. I can cheerfully give because it all belongs to God. It all came from him. Every good and perfect gift, my ability to have anything, comes from him. And so I never understand why people get upset about that. But when I speak on tithing or money or sexuality, or serving, or surrendering, or gossip, or fasting, and if there's something that makes you kind of turn off and go, here we go, that's probably where you need to pray about. That happens with when we talk about sex. You know, sex outside of marriage, sex between people of the same sex, they're wrong. Still love the people, they're still welcome here. Some of you may be struggling with one of those two issues. You're welcome to continue to worship here, but God doesn't want to keep you, for you to stay living in sin. And so if it bothers you when we say something, call something wrong that the Bible calls wrong, that is a you problem. It's not God. It's not me. I'm not closed-minded, judgmental. It's just sin is sin. And we have a Savior who came to save us from our sins and to deliver us from our sins. We all struggle with sin. It's okay to struggle. It's not okay to live in it. It's not okay to willfully choose it. It's not okay to continue in sin. That's a life that is lived for yourself. A life that is lived for Jesus is the opposite. And let's talk about that in our last few minutes. What happened to Judas? Why did Judas betray Jesus? Well, I believe, and if you've been in church a million years, this is something to listen to. I believe that Judas had allowed Jesus to become common. He had allowed Jesus to become common. His daily exposure to the Lord caused him to take Jesus for granted. Any of you here this morning maybe taking the Lord for granted? What about taking grace for granted? Maybe you're in a spot where you're really living a good life following the Lord. Don't begin to think that you're something, because then pride comes in and we have to be careful. We are nothing if it were not for the grace of God. Amen? Amen. He had been taking Jesus for granted. Judas also had a critical spirit and was self-centered. If you're here this morning, a follower of Christ, ask yourself, do I have a critical spirit? Am I self-centered? Do I find a reason to complain a lot?
Am I self-centered? Am I thinking about me instead of, as the Bible says, thinking about others first? Putting others ahead of yourself, your schedule, your time, your wants, your needs. That's not the job of just a pastor, because I fail at that too, but that's the job of every follower of Jesus, the Bible says, to think of others first, to esteem them highly, to think of others and not just ourselves. So here's what happened to Judas. He got called out by Jesus. He was embarrassed. First, he got embarrassed. Have you ever been called out or corrected? It's like embarrassing. Has that ever happened to you? Like some, you're in a group and someone, hey, you said that wrong, did that wrong. Or I've learned with my lovely wife to not do that. Like, because that's just, and she knows not to do it with me because we get embarrassed. And then we get angry. That's what happened to Judas. He got embarrassed. Then he got angry because his pride was wounded. And I believe this might have been the last straw. This might have been this story, the moment where Judas decided he was on team self and team money instead of team Jesus. Maybe because as the treasurer, he wanted access to the cash, and if he couldn't get it the way that he wanted, because man, we could have sold that oil for all this money, he would get it another way. And so he went to the chief priest and he said, hey, how much will you give me for Jesus? And so when we hear this story, I want to make a point. You guys hear this story and I hear this story and think, man, I can't. Could you imagine betraying Jesus? Could you imagine going and saying, hey, 30 pieces of silver, just a bag of coins, I will give you the Son of God. I will betray Jesus and give him to you. And we think, I would never do anything like that. Do you guys know when we sin willfully, when we don't care about coming to church, when we don't care about honoring God, when we choose ourselves and when we choose not to forgive and when we choose to be critical and when we choose sin, that's exactly what we're doing. We're betraying the Lord. We're choosing ourselves and what we want to do or not do over Him. It's exactly what we do. And that's convicting, but at the same time, it makes me appreciate God's grace. This is what we do. When it comes to your money or your sexuality or your time or your forgiveness or your relationships, when you do it your way, that's exactly what you're saying. Let's read verses 14 to 16 again. It says, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver Jesus to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." And so from that time on, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. So in contrast to Mary's devotion, we have Judas' disloyalty. Disloyalty to Jesus. Where in your life, if anywhere today, are you being disloyal to Jesus? And I want you to think about that. It's what Judas was. That's why he's Judas. Think of all the disciples and followers of Christ. I have met a lot of Matthews and Marks and Lukes and Johns and Pauls. I've never met anyone named Judas. Maybe you have. I've never met a guy named Judas because he betrayed Jesus. Have you ever, anyone ever here ever graduate from Benedict Arnold Elementary School? No, exactly. These are things that are associated with bad things. But I think for us, we need to say, when I disobey God, when I don't love people, when I'm critical, when I'm hateful, when I'm sinful, I am betraying the Lord. And that's why it's so important to live lives that are all in for Christ. And so now, why did Judas do it? This is a thing that theologians and people much, much smarter than myself have debated for really a couple millennia now, for centuries and centuries. Why did Judas do it? The other Gospels say that Satan entered into him. Now, I want to say that because that's what the Bible says, it's true, but it wasn't like he was possessed and he had to do it. Because I don't think that's what that meant. The devil made him do it, right? Satan entered into him, so it must have been the devil made him do it. Nope, because Satan doesn't have that kind of power over your will. He does not. And if you keep living in sin and you sin and do what you want, I'm just living in sin, I'm doing whatever, you're doing whatever you want, and you say, well, the devil made me do it, that's just how I am. That is a lie. That is an excuse, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And when you are spending time at Jesus' feet and you are all in and being devoted to him and doing what you can and spending time in the Word and praying and even fasting, the Holy Spirit leads your life in love. The devil can't make you do it. The Holy Spirit leads your life in love. So why did Judas do it? The devil didn't force him to do it. There's three kind of common things. Number one is it was out of anger. He wanted to overthrow Rome. He hated Rome. He hated that Rome occupied Israel. He hated Rome and he wanted to overthrow them. And the second one goes along with that. People thought he was trying to force Jesus' hand. Force Jesus into overthrowing Rome and to setting up his earthly kingdom. If they came to get him, Jesus being the Son of God, who could do anything he wanted, would destroy Rome. But what I think, and the third thing that people throw out there, and what I am sure of why Judas did it is he did it for the money. I know that seems really simple, right? I'm pretty simple-minded. I just believe that Judas did it for the money. I believe it was his self-centeredness and it was his greed, something we all struggle with. Some more than others, some maybe not, but I think those are very common struggles. I think Judas did it for the money. He was short-sighted. He wanted money, he wanted his way, and he wasn't willing to obey the Lord. He wanted to do things how he wanted to do things. And when I think about that, it convicts me, and I hope it's convicting you this morning, of where in my life am I doing things my way? Forget what the Bible says, forget what the Lord has, forget how I need to love people, forget how I need to serve and give, and just, you know what, where am I doing things my way? And John kind of confirms this. John says that Judas occasionally would dip into the till for himself because he was more important than Jesus. He was more important than the mission. So I have a question for you today. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, and then we're going to close. I'd like you to bow your heads with me, please. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's get prayerful. Please don't look up at me. Dan and I are nothing to look at. I have a question for you. What right now is more important in your life than Jesus? Is it your money? Is it your time? Is it how you handle your body? Is it a substance? What's more important in your life right now than Jesus? Is it being right? Ooh, here's a big one. We just had an election. Is being right more important to you? And maybe where someone has wronged you, you are right to be angry. No, you're not. Not as a follower of Jesus. I'm not saying it's not deserved. I'm saying we can't hold on to it. We have to forgive and let it go, or we won't be forgiven ourselves. First thing that pops into your head right now, what's the most important thing in your life? And if you immediately thought kids or spouse or money or job or security or family or anything, and those are all good things, anything other than living all in for Jesus in order to one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," then it's wrong. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love the church. I love you guys. But the most important thing in my life has got to be living for Jesus. It has got to be honoring God. It has got to be glorifying God with my life. And the Bible says if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. Life will never be perfect necessarily, but it will be good and work together for good. Just as the verse says out there that the chef is holding, God will work together for good. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, will you stop running from a God who loves you unconditionally, who truly wants the best for you in this life, but most importantly wants you to get home to heaven? Jesus is the point of life. If there's anything that's more important to you than him, today as we sing at your seat or at the altar or catch me after service, something you need to pray about, something you need to repent from, something you need to get at the Lord's feet about, now's a great time to do that. Let's pray and then sing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to come to you and I want to thank you for your amazing love, for your amazing grace, and also for your word that convicts us, that divides us. The Lord's that really, Heavenly Father, is necessary for health and life and abundance and fullness. And right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would live lives devoted to you. And as you have, Lord, worked on people's hearts of something that, Lord, maybe they just shut off. Maybe they know there's stuff that's ahead of you, but they're just not willing to do anything about it. My God, would you convict them of how dangerous that is? That, Lord God, this life is a vapor here for a moment and then gone. And, Lord God, we should be living lives to one day come into your presence in that instant, that moment when we take our last, into your loving arms, into hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," into the joy, Lord, that you have for us. And Lord God, I pray that you would, Heavenly Father, work on our hearts right now, because you, as our children, you want us home for heaven. You want that great family reunion one day for all of eternity that will be unimaginable. And Lord God, if there are those here that are letting the things of this life that seem important now, the sins of this life, the things of this world, God, convict them that they really aren't that important. You are. In Jesus' name, amen.